The third annual Missing in Arizona Day was last weekend, and in that one day, agencies processed more than 70 missing persons reports. That's triple what they saw last year during the event. Now, it may seem strange that there's a designated day to encourage people to file reports. Don't they report their loved ones as missing as soon as it happens?
A lot of information came to us that families did try to reaching out to their local law enforcement agencies to file reports, and for one reason or another, that report was never filed.
Sergeant Vince Lewis with the Phoenix Police Department says there are also people who have been afraid to come forward if they're undocumented, for example. He says officials will not use that status against a family who's searching for a missing person.
Losing someone this way, it's just not something you'd ever expect to happen. It can be confusing to know what to do, even beyond the police report. The show's Anika Klein takes us deeper into what happens when someone goes missing.
In the first hour, you ask yourself, why is it taking them so long to come home? Why won't they answer my calls? Are they mad about something? In 5 hours, you ask your family and friends, have you seen them? Have you heard anything? Were they with you? In 24 hours, you're being asked the questions. How tall are they? What were they wearing? Where were they going? Do they take any meds? Do you have their dental records? And after that, there's just one question. Where are they?
He was supposed to be back in like 30 minutes.
Aline Sibomana's little brother, Tarasi Nihulimbele, has been missing for almost 2 months. He's 23. He's African, brown eyes, black hair. He was wearing a white t-shirt.
It just takes one person recognizing his face because he has a unique face. It's hard to miss, you know, and his smile is very goofy, like.
We're looking at the missing person poster for Tarasi. In one of the photos, he's smiling in the driver's seat of a car in a bright purple jacket. Aline and Tarasi are two of nine children. The family escaped Burundi during a genocide in the early 90s.
My mom was 8 months pregnant with him. She gave birth to him in the middle of the field in Tanzania. He survived living in a refugee camp with no medical care, no services, and then to come here and go missing.
More than 600,000 people go missing in the U.S. each year, though even more cases could be unreported. Last year, more than 30% of reported missing people were black, when black people make up less than 15% of the total U.S. population. Aline says she had some concerns at first about how seriously local law enforcement would take the case. But those have gone away. She says the detective assigned to their case has gone above and beyond to help and keep in touch.
For us to know that the officials working on our brother's case care and that we're not in this alone also helps. You know, I think it would be so much worse if we weren't getting calls back.
At the Missing in Arizona Day event this year, more than 70 names were added to the 2,000 already reported missing in Arizona. At the same time, there are 1,500 unidentified bodies in the Arizona Medical Examiner's office, and some of these new reports could be a link.
You take any sample, whether it's a bone or whether it's a cheek swab or a mouth swab.
Dan Morena is a forensic scientist at the state's crime lab, and he's here to tell people how to give DNA samples and why that's so important.
The more family samples that are given, the greater the chance of identifying an unidentified person.
He says they're solving decades-old cases thanks to new family DNA samples collected. Aline's family did that too, but she's not the type to wait for answers.
We did some canvassing around 55th Avenue and Osborne area, which is like where that's the area where he went missing.
They've printed thousands of Tarasi's missing person posters in English and Spanish to hand out and post.
Just like if I'm going anywhere, just give people a poster like, hey, my brother's missing.
And there's a Facebook page. The groundwork is spurring a response. She gets messages and calls sometimes from people who think they've seen Tarasi. And then Aline will pass the message along to the detective.
No matter what, like, Tarasi will not be forgotten. Like, we will raise hell to find Tarasi.
What they find may not be what they're hoping for. But Aline says at this point, they just want an answer.
If we know that my brother's passed away and we have a body to bury, we can process that. The worst thing about this whole entire situation is there's no closure. Like, how do you move on? You can't. You cry at night. You pray that he ate. You pray that he's alive.
And you keep handing out flyers and posting on social media. and saying his name to anyone you meet, however long it takes to get an answer. For the show, I'm Anika Klein.